chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our merciful Father, we thank you for allowing us to be together as your people. We thank you that you have accepted our worship. You have heard our prayers. We have presented gifts before you. And our Father, we come to you seeking your anointing and wisdom, that we may receive that which you have for us today. May your word be made alive unto our hearts as we meditate upon it together through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone said, Amen. Please be seated. It is indeed nice to be back at church. I think I have to say I missed being home. But San Jose is an exciting experience. Big, beautiful church with a capacity to hold 500 people. The first Sunday there were 13 people. But last Sunday there were 37 people, praise the Lord. So keep on praying, good things will happen as we pray. I could not pass up a Sunday where the graduates were being blessed and honored. As the young people are my pride and joy. After all, we have our days and our days are just about over. And let the young people take over. So I thought I'll take a day off and come over here and just bless my kids. Isn't it just marvelous to see young people passing from step to step in their life? It is very difficult for us parents to see them grow out of our hands and fly in their own horizons. But thank God that they are growing, maturing, and advancing in the purposes to which God has called them. So let them go with blessing. And let them go with your inspiration. And allow them to be what God has purposed for them to be. Inasmuch as we want to be anxious parents, let the anxiety be only before the Lord and not into negative dimensions of life. This is a very important message for us to consider together. Because I speak of the day of Pentecost, the great experience. On the day of Pentecost, the church was born. The ushering in of a new era. The period of law had ended and the time how the grace of God in marvelous manifestation had come. The Spirit of God has been poured out upon the earth. It did not say trickle down, it said poured out. In other words, the Spirit of God is given to the church in abundance. Not controlled, not measured. In all His personality He has come upon the church. And here was a group of 120 people who were infused with that new power from on high, and all of a sudden they were a new people. Now, we are raw material until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and transforms us into His very likeness. These were religious people. They knew all the jargons. They knew all the issues. They knew the canons. They knew how things ought to operate. But it is one thing to know. It is another thing to be possessed by the reality or the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God pours out His power upon the church only when the church comes prepared. And the church is ready to receive the power. God never forces Himself on anybody. Ah, the good old scripture, Revelation 3:20, what does it say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then what does it say? If anyone will open. That function is left to you and I. If we open, the Lord will enter in and He will support us. He will demonstrate to us that I am a good friend, I am a good companion, I like to interact with you, and the best way to interact is to enjoy a meal together. And so all the church family today decided that we, the Lord's people, will celebrate with the graduates, and so there is going to be plenty of food out there at the close of the service. Just enjoy yourself, have a great time of fellowship. It is symbolizing the fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes in, and food is the best means by which we assimilate into the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's one thing we learn from the Jewish people. Isn't that wonderful? Just to experience for ourselves always. On Friday nights, I sometimes sneak in, and I get a good treat because they have very nice food that they prepare for God's people to fellowship together. The Jewish bread and all the goodies that they prepare, I don't know all the names of the things they have, but I tell you, beyond all the smoked salmon and all the other things that they present, what really represents is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship is only an expression of the reality of being with Jesus Christ. The church is going to be blessed only when the church is united in its purpose. United and of one heart. Not a divided people. Divided people will never experience the full measure of God's mercy and His power. People with division shows how immature they are. People with divided, discordant spirit show that they have to grow up. That they have to lay aside silly, petty, personal differences and put Jesus in the center of life. It's when we put ourselves in the center of life, we can find a lot of things that will separate us and differentiate us. Very often, just think of the church at Corinth, for example. What did they have? They had people with all kinds of issues. Contention about the way they did the Lord's table. Contention about the way they spoke in tongues. And contention about the way they prophesied. Contention about groupisms. I am of Apollos. I am of Paul. I am of Peter. Oh, I am none of those people. I am so super spiritual. I belong to Jesus. And that's when Jesus becomes a point of division and discord in the body of Christ, you lost it. But God calls His people to come together and put Christ in the middle. And that's a united church. A united church around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will see the infusion of the power of God upon those ordinary people, transforming them to be extra special for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, may we grow up spiritually into full maturity that God has for His people. To experience the fullness for the power of God upon the church. We get a little taste of the Spirit as we are born again. But very many people feel secure in that and say, now I have passed from death unto life, thank God, eternity is assured for me, therefore I am born again, I'll go to heaven, this is good enough. But honey, you are really missing out an awful lot that God has in store for people if you will only enter in and experience great things that God has for His people in the Spirit. And therefore, when we come together, we put Jesus Christ as the center. We come with one heart, one mind, one purpose. And it is that united purpose of glorifying Christ that elevates the people. I walk around in all kinds of church situations, as you know, because of my association with the Council of Bishops and the Judicatory Executives. And I hear from the Lutherans, and I hear from the Baptists, I hear from the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Roman Catholics, and my goodness, all of them, even the Nazarenes. Every community has a discord issue, one thing or the other. But if only people of God could find the elevated Jesus, a true vision of Jesus Christ, then they will be able to put aside all these other things. And so these things don't matter very much. What truly matters is who Christ is. And therefore let us enter into that full experience. Now when the Spirit of God was poured upon the people, it did not say the Spirit of God was poured upon only on the 12. Or on the 120. Upon all flesh. The Spirit of God was poured upon. Hallelujah. And it did not say that the Spirit of God will be poured upon only a bunch of people that came from Scandinavia or some people that came from Jerusalem. No. It said the Spirit of God is poured upon all, irrespective of caste, color, or creed. That's why you see nationalities of all kinds in the kingdom of God, because they have been attracted by that power, that drawing power of the Spirit of God. And that Spirit enables us to enter in and then say there is no difference of age, no difference of race, no difference of caste, color, or creed, but together upon all flesh the Spirit has fallen. And we are recipients of that collective blessing, how God brings His people together to enjoy each other around the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you see, I was visiting with a group of people, and I heard this expression, there are 8 families in a congregation. And then among these 8 families, there are 3 groups. I don't know how they divide. And the couple that was speaking to me was saying, now, this group will like us to join them, and the other group will like us to join them, and we are trying to maintain neutrality. 8 families, so much contention. Oh no. If only upon all 8 families the Spirit fell, upon all families, irrespective of their age, irrespective of their ratio of understanding, they will be totally submerged in the Spirit. Now, when I say totally submerged in the Spirit, I want us to understand I am speaking about a person. The word submerge will immediately give you the idea of water. To be submerged in the Spirit, by expression, means that we acknowledge Him, ask the Lord, and in our absoluteness, we come totally to Him without any reservation, abandon ourselves in His presence, so that we become so dedicated to God and to His purposes, He captures us all together, we become fully His, so that every sinew of our being, from the top, from the apex of our head, to the soles of our feet, we become super saturated with the energy of God, because we become His possession and we belong to Him. He owns us. He captures us. He takes a hold of us. And then we become His instruments for His use. Now, one of the expressions that I read in this passage about young people has really piqued my mind. I want all of you to be observant of it. And let me just go step by step so you follow me. There are a couple of items I will not comment on because I have already talked about in the context of the church. First, young men will see vision. Young people will see vision. A vision is a capacity to be able to see that which God has for us. A vision is through the eyes of faith, seeing the future, trusting in God's provision, organizing ourselves to actualize all that God has for His people. That's what true vision is. And therefore, it is not projecting my ideas, my visions, and my ambition, rather me seeing who God is, and then capturing from Him ideas that I need. That's the vision. Now, we need a true vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And Jesus Christ, the exalted God. We need to have a true vision of the majesty of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit of God. Maybe I should say those words again just so you are able to write it down. Majesty of that exalted God, the Creator of all universe. And when you come into His presence, you are only observant of the splendor and the glory of His majesty. You are totally consumed in Him. Hallelujah. And then you step up and you say, oh, I am what I am, all by the grace of God, only by the grace of God. There's nothing that I could do in my own strength. And therefore, you come under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we know that the power that comes is through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. It is that power that transforms us to be able to truly see Christ. Christ as He is. It's people who have a veiled understanding of Christ that keeps them always limited. And that is why we have to just thrust ourselves behind and put ourselves into Christ so that we are able to place Christ as the center of our life. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. That new creation is fully actualized as we thrust ourselves in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then His power, His enabling grace, His enabling power gives us the energy to be different from everybody else. Number two, vision as God wants us to have is a vision of purity, a vision for personal purity. Now this is a very important question that you and I have to answer for ourselves before God. In this church, we don't receive confessionals. We don't have a cubby hole over here, and the youth pastor will sit at the other end and then listen to all that you have to say. No, we don't do that kind of stuff. But we have counseling sessions available for those who need counseling. And for those who need acute counseling, we send them to professional counselors who are set apart to do that. But we truly encourage people to identify their weaknesses and areas where they need help, so that they will be able to move from that failure syndrome into victorious walk with Jesus Christ. Walking in faith, in victory with God. Because God does not sponsor failures. Come on. Somebody say amen. God does not sponsor failures. God wants you to be a victorious Christian. He wants you to be a successful Christian. And it is important for you to visualize that you are going to live in the holiness of God. That holiness is inscribed on our hearts. And it is not something that we can create within ourselves. There are many religions, you know, by walking the pilgrimage or going to holy shrines or taking a dip in the holy waters, they think maybe there will be purity. No, true purity has to come from Christ Himself. Come on. It is God who purifies us by His power, by the, write it down, resurrection power of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood of Christ, and by the power of the Word of God. We are sanctified and purified. And we live in that purity. It is a vision that we set for ourselves as God's people. We are going to live in that quality of life. That is the quality of God that He imparts to us. And when we are living that kind of a life, we are able to have an impact upon the society in which God has placed us. There's an African-American gentleman who was a worker in the factory where one of my Hindu young friends was the foreman. 8-hour job will be finished in 7 hours, and so he will say, "You sign 8 hours and go home." So the African-American brother said, "Sir, no, I cannot write 8 hours. I have to write 7 hours. The foreman looked and said, "I am the boss. I am telling you, you can write 7 hours and go." And the African-American said, "No, sir. If it takes 8 hours to do the work, I'll write 8 hours. If it takes 7 hours to do the work, I'll write 7 hours. Whew. And this man looked around and said, "What makes this guy different? What makes this guy different?" That inquiry led this young Hindu man to go to his subordinate's house for a Bible study. And there in the Bible study, he hears about Jesus Christ. And when time after time he listened about Jesus Christ, all of a sudden this young man said, I want what this guy has. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then his wife, who was the lead singer at the Hindu temple with a master's in music, he said, oh, Jesus has transformed me, and she believed in Jesus. And they went all the way to India and met all their high caste parents, and her family came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, it's one African American gentleman whose influence as a Christian that led this young man to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you know who I am talking about. It's the story of Sunil Sharma, who today is one of the pastors of the First Church of the Nazarene in San Jose. And on Mother's Day, all of his family were in church. The first time to a church service, all these Brahmin people who have never been to a church, all of them who fought him tooth and nail for becoming a Christian, all of a sudden came into the church on a Mother's Day. Now, God's people, if we allow the purity of our faith to transform our witness, that witness will have an impact in the society that God places us. And then I say, those of us who are noble citizens, we should always be aware, in the political democratic process that you and I are placed, if you do not involve yourself in civic processes, as godly people, you get what you have. Enough said. We need to have, number four, a vision for our own church. We have a vision for the church as God sees the church. Not as we would like to see the church. A lot of people fight about the organ music, a lot of people fight about the drum, a lot of people fight about the traditional hymns, and a lot of people fight about the youth programs, and nothing to fight about. Those things are all incidental issues. Come on. Boy, I'll take a nice drummer any day for my San Jose church. But the point is, if I have a drummer, we will enjoy it. If I don't have a drummer, we will enjoy it. Why? Because it is not the drum that makes the worship. Come on! What really makes the worship is our heart that is drawn for Jesus. Thank God for Ruth Rosen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so, thank God for Gail. Praise the Lord. Come on. I miss you kids. And thank God for Aiden. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, but they don't make you your worship. They're just helping you provide the amenities with which you can focus your heart upon God and pour your heart unto Jesus. But true worship has to come from a body that is united in purpose, washed by the blood, cleansed and purified. That's the entire sanctuary. As people walk into the place, they will sense God. They will understand the awesome greatness of the power of God Almighty. That's why people come into church. And that's the kind of a church that God expects of you and I. Not to be picking up on little silly fights here and there on petty differences, but rather we will see an exalted and majestic God. And as we stand together and sing, I exalt thee, great and mighty God, we truly mean that we collectively exalt our wonderful God. Praise the Lord. That's the church. And out of that kind of a church, true witness will emanate. And as people of God come, they will know who Christ is. The next vision that you and I ought to focus on is the eternal heritage that God has given to us. Somebody said, immortality is a great gift, but eternal life is greater. It enables us to move from the transient, immediate world in which we live. When you start thinking of heaven and all that heaven pertains, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the streets of gold, the living manna, and all that is out there. Hallelujah. I don't know what all things out there. The thrones and the crowns and all the tree of life. For eternity. And all the inheritance that God has in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. And He invites us to transport ourselves from this ordinary mundane world and transfix us in the heavenlies. Because He has blessed us with all heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. And then He says to us, don't get muddled up with all the little silly things around us, but just get so filled with God. Thus, an ordinary Peter stands up with the 11 and then he declares the whole counsel of God and to the people, to the Jewish community, what makes the greatest affirmation? That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus of Nazareth, you crucified. He was buried. But He rose and He lives and He has ascended into heaven. That's the crux of the gospel. How many people come to know in 1 5-minute sermon or 3-minute sermon how fast you read? 3,000 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest impact that God wants us to have, because our heart is set upon eternal things. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The voice of the archangel will sound. And with the shout of the Lord, He will come. And when He comes, those who are dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us who are alive will be transformed unto the very likeness of His person. And we will all be caught up together in the heavens to meet the Lord. That's the hope of the church. And therefore, fix your vision on eternal values. Organize your life that you will attain the greatest price that God has for His people. I wonder if we can quieten our hearts before Him for a moment. Take an honest inventory of ourselves. Say to Jesus, just as we are, Father, we will come to You.
Our Father, we come to you as needy people. People who need that vision from on high. That we will experience the unity of the Spirit and the true demonstration of the power of the Spirit. That we will move away from mundane things that beset us and truly fix our values and heavenly vision. So Lord, we ask you that you will intervene and you will sustain us. You will help us. But you will help us, Lord, to just open ourselves up unto you. That your Spirit will pour in abundance upon us. Lord, we are not asking for trickles. We are not asking for even little showers. We are asking for a downpour of your Spirit upon my young people, upon my older people, upon my little children. That irrespective of age, we will be super saturated but through Jesus Christ. In you and in you alone we find our safety. So Lord, abandoning ourselves, we come to you and we pray that you will shape us to be bold witnesses for you. I wonder if you will open your heart before God at this moment. If you will open your heart before God and allow the Spirit of the Lord to melt away self-centeredness. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to fill your soul, your heart and your mind, your body, that you become a totally transformed and consumed individual for God. Let the gospel change you. Let the resurrection power change you. Let the power of God's word change you. Let the blood of Christ change you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help your people. If you are one who will say, I want a real infilling of the Spirit of God in my life, I want to be super saturated with the favor of God. You open your heart before Christ. When you open your heart and ask for Him, the Word of God says that He will fill your heart and that He will come. He will enter in. And if you are one of those who would say, Pastor, please remember me in prayer. I need that refreshing of the Spirit in my life. We will pray together that God will help you. Will you just put your right hand up and say, Pastor, remember me in prayer. I want that true infusion by the power of the Spirit of God in my life. Yes. Yes. Irrespective of age, irrespective of status, humbly as we come before God, allowing Him to transform us. Is there anyone else who will say, Pastor, please remember me in prayer? Yes, thank you. Yes. Merciful Father, we thank you that it is in your mercy that you come down to us. For we do not deserve any goodness from you, but we come trusting in your righteousness and in your favor alone. Make us extraordinary people. People with your vision and your energy, your wisdom and your direction. And help us, Lord, that we will be bold witnesses for you wherever you place us. We thank you that you are the healer. You are the healer of the brokenhearted. You are the remaker of the troubled soul. And I pray, Father, that those who have indicated a desire to draw closer unto you and be refreshed with your power again, that you will fall upon them in all abundance and fill them with that power from on high. Lord, we know that we are called to be yours. So to you we come asking for your help. May we be totally yours for your glory. And we thank you in Christ's name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.